Tonight is going to be different. So, Father God, I thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. I thank you for what you're going to have me do. I thank you for the people's hearts that you've already prepared to receive this. And, Father, I thank you that your angelic host is walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to the need of each and every person here. And, Father God, we will never, ever, ever forget to give you all praise, honor, and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what God had me do was go back and pull out two prophetic words that he gave me. And I thought this is the weirdest thing, but as I got to reading them over and over again, because I had to read them over and over again, because I thought, God, this is different. It's not what I'm used to. I understand why he did this. Now, this is a prophetic word he gave me in November 14th, 2007. And you know, when I went back to my sermon, he told me what I wanted me to do, so I went back to my sermons, and he told me exactly which one. You know, I didn't look down through them. He just told me what the title was, and so that's what you're getting, all right? Final choices are being made. Final choices are being made. I want you to listen to what he said back in 2007. Listen as I call, and do not think it is as before. Do not think it is okay not to listen and turn away. For final choices are being made. Isn't that what we're doing today? I am calling to those within my house to come to me, and within his house, to come to me and find rest, come to me and find forgiveness from sin. In his house, he's calling. Isn't that what he's doing right now? Come to me and find that which you need. So do not ignore my call, for it is time to listen and come. No more can I turn my head and not see what those within my house are doing. No longer can I ignore as they do not listen and run to those who do not die for them. Come when I call, listen when I speak. Do not refuse as before, thinking it is okay, for it is not. I want to stop there because on that video that I was watching of Jesse Duplantis, you know, he was complaining to somebody he has never seen God, and he wanted to see God. And so a week went by, and he was sleeping one night, and he sleeps on his stomach, and he said the wind blew through his house, his bedroom. The curtains went right on up around the rod. You probably read that. And he said the wind was really strong, and God said, Jesse, turn around. Well, Jesse said, oh, God, no, 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 God, no, no. And he said the wind kept blowing. He said it blew right through his skin. And God spoke again, Jesse, turn around. And he said, no, 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 God, no, please, no. And then the wind kept blowing. And, you know, remember, he was mad because he never got to see God. And so then God said the third time, Jesse, turn around. And he said he was beaten on his wife's side. He said she's a very light sleeper. But somebody told him God was going to come visit him, and his wife would not wake up and see it. So he was beating on his wife's side. Get up, get up, get up, get awake, get awake. And they said she actually had a big bruise on her side where he hit her so hard trying to get her up, and she never woke up. And so he said the third time, Jesse, turn around. He said, oh, God. He said, no, 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 God, no. As he said, so the wind stopped, and the curtain went back into place. And then he said, oh, no. Then he woke his wife up. He shook her. He said, you just missed it. You blew the whole thing. But see, she got awake then, you know, whenever God left. And so Jesse got out of bed and went out into the other room, and he said, oh, God, he said, I really missed it. And God said to Jesse, Jesse, it's okay. He said, I'd rather you believe me and not see me than have to see me to believe in me. But, you know, so here, it made me think about that when this prophetic word says, when a call come. And so when he called to Jesse three times, Jesse didn't turn around. And so he missed seeing God. This is what I'm trying to get at there, all right? So be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. When it comes, you don't know what to do with it. Many thought because I did nothing, then it was okay to not listen. Yet it never was. I am long-suffering and want no one to perish, yet I cannot continue to ignore as my people do not listen nor come to me. It is time. Now is the day of salvation, so come and listen. This is all stuff he's doing today, and this was back in 2007. Repent while it is still day, for the night cometh and is fast approaching. As with Lot, I have held back that which is coming, so those within the house that needs to come and listen, come and repent. Could. Yet that time is ending. It's just like he did with Lot when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He gave the people a chance to get right, and they wouldn't. And he couldn't even find any righteous men in there except Lot. So he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now the father is standing and saying, it is time to come and repent. Come and listen. Those within the house need to come, for I can no longer hold back that which is coming, for it is now time. Many within the house thought because I was holding things back that it was okay for them to continue as before and not listen. Many thought this meant I would continue to hold things back forever. Do not refuse the day of salvation. Do not ignore my call as it goes forth within the house. For it is time for that which was prophesied of old to commence. It is time for those within the house to come as I call and listen. Come as I call and repent. Many are being weighed in the balance and found wanting. Many are now making eternal decisions, yet as they do, they are thinking it is just a light thing to be ignored. Do not think this is a light thing to refuse to listen, for this is an eternal decision, and with it will come the consequences of this decision. Listen as I call, and do not ignore my call, for I love those that are mine, so listen as I call and come. Refuse to believe the lies of the enemy as he says there is still time, for he knows that there is no longer time to play around anymore. He knows what time it is and desires to destroy your soul, so listen as I call and come, for I love you and desire only good for you. Believe not that there is still plenty of time, for there is no longer plenty of time. Come or else your candlestick will be removed, so come and find life, and that more abundantly. Come and find rest. Come and repent. Now is the day of salvation, so come to me, for my yoke is easy, my children is light, and my burden is light. In me you will find life, so come as I call. Come and do not turn away as before. Let my life flow through you as you come and find life, for in me is all that you need. In me is forgiveness of sin. In me is rest for your weary soul. Come and do not listen as the enemy lies, for he seeks to destroy you. Come to me, for in me is that which is life. In me is that which is rest. In me is that which is forgiveness. So come and do not ignore. Come and heed my call. Now that was in 2007, and then a dispensation of time passed. And now God started calling all over again. But as I read and reread this, God said, those people that were hearing that in that given time are now no more in the house of the Lord. He said, I have called them out, and they are no more. But now he's doing the same thing all over again in 2018. It started before 2018, but he's long-suffering. Now he's come back to, see, because those who heard this word in 2007 are gone. Then God brought a new bunch of people into his kingdom. And now they're hearing the very same thing that the people heard in 2007. What are these people going to do with the call that God is calling them to? Are they coming? Are they listening to God? Are they heeding his call? Are they repenting of their sin? And are they changing the way they walk? All you have to do is just think about somebody you know who was in the house of God and isn't anymore. And then just trace back what they did. Just trace back what they did, and you'll see that when God called, they did not heed. When God said, get out of your sin and repent, they did not get out of their sin and repent. And now they are no more. And God says he cannot work with a cold heart. I just heard him say that. He cannot work with a cold heart. So where is your heart? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Is it burning hot? Where is your heart? You have to ask yourselves these questions if you're going to stay in the house of God, you know, in God's kingdom. You know, and during this call from 2007 on, you know, a lot of things were going on in the churches that were not of God. And a lot of people were hurt in the house of God. But you can't keep carrying that on your shoulders all your life. Just because one or two churches hurt you does not mean the next one's not going to hurt you. But the reason why it does is because you're looking to be hurt. After all, they hurt me in this church, and they hurt me in this church. I just know they're going to hurt me in his church. And that's the mindset of God's children. And if you have that mindset, then you're soon going to find yourself sitting alone somewhere. Well, I can be ministered to on TV. Yes, you can. But the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And God says, if you want to start a house church, and start a house church, but make sure you're right before you start one. You cannot start a ministry if you're still messed up. I was hurt in every church I went to, but that didn't stop my walk with God. Why was I hurt? Because I didn't understand what God was doing with me. They didn't have the anointing on their life that God had placed upon my life, and a lot of them became jealous. They didn't know what to do with me, so they hurt me, you know. And I was asked to leave a couple of churches because they just didn't understand. I didn't understand what God was doing with me. So how could I expect them to understand what God was doing with me? But I never let that bother me because I always look for another church to go to. And I didn't go in there expecting them not to understand me. I went in there just expecting to worship the Father. I wasn't worshiping the people. I wasn't worshiping a pastor. I was worshiping the Father. Are you understanding that? And that way, I hear God say, I was never blown away because I was never looking to people to satisfy me. I was never looking to people to pat me on the back and glorify me. I was just in there to glorify the Father. When we were sitting there doing praise and worship, I remember when I was first born again, the church I went to, one of the churches I went to, they had me be praise and worship leader. And I used to sing and lead praise and worship. But I was up there doing praise and worship, and I was singing. I was singing a solo, and all of a sudden, I got instantly angry, and it came out in a song. I just stepped down off the pulpit, when I was down the chair, and the pastor said, "What are you doing?" I said, "If I can't glorify God, then I don't need to be up there. I haven't been up there since." And I don't know what hit me. I don't know what made me angry, but I just quit being praise and worship leader. Never have been one since. I don't believe if you can't glorify God, then you need to step out of that position. You just have to. And if you're an evangelist, if you're a pastor, then you have to be able to glorify God at all times. Are you listening here? And if you find yourself being disgruntled, then you need to just step back. I've done that here whenever I found, where things weren't going right, I would just have other people preach and I would just step back and just stay in the presence of God and let him heal me of whatever was going on in my life. Because if I can't get myself together, I can't glorify God and I can't minister to anybody else. You know, it's not a bad thing to step back and say, I just have to step back for a little bit. It's not a bad thing to do that. That's being honest with yourself, and that's getting yourself healed by God. All right. So then he had me go to a prophetic word on 2015 New Year's Eve. And this was the message he had me give. We are entering into a brand new year, and we are leaving behind a year of chaos and confusion. And isn't that what we're doing right now? I want my children to understand that there is nothing I won't do for the righteous ones and nothing I will withhold from them as they march forward in perfect confidence that I can and I shall deliver all I have spoken over their lives. Isn't that what he's saying right now? It's awesome how God goes around, isn't it? He loves his children. He's a wonderful God. And he keeps trying to pull you and woo you into his kingdom, into his arms. And you are the only ones keeping yourself from his arms. You are the only ones keeping yourself from the joy of the Lord. And I know we've been singing about songs about joy. You know, Sister Lane blows a shofar about joy. I preach about joy, teach about joy. But yet the joy is not there, is it? You don't see it in the streets, do you? And you walk into churches, you don't see it in churches. I don't hear it on the TV programs. What is our problem? We have to get the joy of the Lord back down inside of us. Time is running out, and I need your full undivided attention at this given time. I have my arms wide open for every backslider and the prodigals I am calling back home to fulfill their destinies. So if you were a backslider, if you were sitting in here and you know you weren't working for God 100%, God, and he said, I'm calling back the backsliders. He's told that. He said that. Much has been said about the soon return of my son Jesus, but I want you to take your focus off of this kind of thing and place your focus back on what I am calling you forth to do and accomplish in this brand new year of Jubilee. And God said this is a year of Jubilee. But he was saying that back in 2015. And they were saying it every year, really. And I finally said, God, when is true Jubilee? He said, Jubilee is any time my people can believe for it to be happening in their life. So whatever you can believe, the Jubilee, I'm believing a Jubilee is here in my life this year. I mean, I believe it every time I hear it. But I'm really pressing in for Jubilee this year because God said this, he emphasized this is a year of Jubilee. And so I'm pressing in and I'm going to receive all God has for me. I want God to restore everything that Palmer and the camper worm has stolen, don't you? He's stolen a bunch off of me. And he owes me quite a bit. And I want interest, right? All right. I want, and then God goes on to say, I want you to forget the former things. And that's what he's talking about this morning. And place your eyes upon the latter things and just move forward in me. You cannot go back and undo any wrong, and you cannot undo disobedience to my instructions. So all there is to do is move forward in me. And isn't that what God talked about us this morning? We can't undo anything we've said or done. We've done some stupid things last year, or even maybe just yesterday. We've said and done things we wish we'd had our tongue cut out so we couldn't speak. Amen. But you can't go back and undo it. You know, people keep saying, doing things to me at my house. And they keep saying, I'm really, really sorry. I said, no, I'm not going to receive that because you keep doing it over and over again. If you really are sorry, don't do it again. That you know, actions is louder than words, right? That'll prove to me then that you're really sorry if you quit doing the same thing over and over and over again, right? All right, then God goes on to say, take up the sword, which is my word, and go forth as a true and mighty soldier of the cross, bearing in mind that my word tells you that I shall never leave nor forsake you. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, God gave me that scripture early on when I first started the church, and when I typed this, when I reread this, I didn't type this, I just copied it. When I reread this, I said, God, I forgot you gave me that scripture. See? God brought that back to my remembrance. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Well, I don't fear anybody, but if I did, see, if I'd remembered that scripture, I wouldn't have to fear anybody because this is from God. And then he said to me, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Are you listening here? You can find great comfort in those words in the days ahead, for I will be moving at a very fast pace, and you will need endurance to keep up with my pace. And isn't that what he's doing right now? I think this is awesome. But as you settle in and as you turn your face toward the heavens, I will shine down upon you and anoint you to run this race with full confidence that you shall win and not fall. And he's been anointing us to do special things here in the last couple services. In Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. God will give you endurance to run your race. Now, I like this verse, looking unto Jesus. Not people, but looking unto Jesus, not your circumstance, but unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See this? You know, God is our example. God is with us. He's not against us. And Jesus is forevermore interceding for us. Every jot and tittle shall come to pass in this brand new year that you are entering into tonight. See this? And I gave this tonight, not this morning. Matthew 5:18. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Everything God has spoken over your life is going to happen. Get that down in your spirit tonight. I don't care what the enemy has put in between the time God told you and the time it's going to happen. It is going to happen. All right? I'm going through the same hellhole that you're going through. And I have to keep my eyes upon Jesus every day. Sometimes every second of every day. Telling the devil that he's a liar and to get out of my life. In order to endure what I have to endure. All right? Sometimes it's an all-day fight. Sometimes it's an all-week fight. You know? But we have to fight. We can't say, I'm tired, I'm weary. We can't do that. Then God goes on to say, I want to speak sure confidence in your spirit, man, that what I speak I am well able to perform on your behalf. Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Some of you need to be really convinced, fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, see, all right, now I watched that Jesse Duplantis video. Bless Brother Aaron, he sent it to me, and I listened to it, watched it. Been on there, Jesse Duplantis said, I've never been sick a day in my life. Why haven't I never been sick a day in my life? Because I walk close to God, and I'm sitting there thinking. Then after I watched it all, I went in the room, into my study, and said, all right, God, you and I have to have a conversation here. How come he's never been sick, and I'm going through what I'm going through, you know? But then I have to also remember that we are different individuals. We're unique. We have different things, that callings upon our life, and we won't walk the same as somebody else walks. See how the devil tried to mess me up? Tried to make me believe I was doing something wrong? And, you know, he knew that would do that to me, because I can't deal with the fact that somebody else says, well, I walk close to God, and that's why it doesn't happen to me. Because I've learned that walking close to God makes you more vulnerable for the enemy's attack. Okay? And I'm not saying except anything that comes down the road. And he said, what I do is I order my day every day. Every morning I order my day. God said, all right, Jesse, what are we going to do today? And so I order my day, and the day goes exactly as I order it, because I know who I am. All right. So we order our day every day, right? Someday that day does not go that way. Jesse was a heathen. And his mother, he said, every day his mother looked at him and said, you heathen from hell, you're going to get saved. You know? She didn't mince words. And he got saved. Drastically, radically saved, been going to heaven and this and that and the other, you know? I have to tell the story about his mother. His mother was doing something in the house. His mother said, all right, everybody get in the car. We have to go somewhere. And they went, I'll say, to a railroad track. I forgot where they went. But anyhow, there was a young 16-year-old girl there. She was going to commit suicide. And his mother jumped out of the car and said, what are you doing? And she said she was pregnant, and she didn't want to tell her father, so she was going to kill herself. So she said, get in the car. I'll take care of your father. And Jesse said, she didn't know my father at all, period. Didn't know anything about him. Went to the girl's house, drove up there and got out of the car and walked up, knocked the door, and the man answered the phone. She said, who said, who do you think you are? How many things have you done that nobody knows that you've done? And, you know, she just really chewed him out. She said, your daughter's pregnant, and you're going to receive her. You know, you're not going to condemn her or something like that. And then he said, he got back in the car. She got back in the car and went home, and left the girl there. Years later, the girl came up to him and said, you knew who I am? And she said, no. He said, no. And she said, I'm the girl that you rescued from committing suicide. And there she was, had children and everything, right? And, you know, it was just wonderful how God spoke to his mother and said, go to so-and-so place, and this young girl is going to be there, going to commit suicide, and I want you to save her. See, we need to be walking there. That was his mother. He said his mother ruled the roost. Everybody did what his mother did, and one day they were at the supper table, and she stood up and said, I have an announcement to make. Every one of you are going to be saved. Every one of you. And he said, everyone in the family was saved. Because she knew her God. She held that promise to God that her whole family would be saved. Amen. We look at our kids and say, you heathen, you're going to go to hell. And then we just say, I'll wait to bury you so you can go there. We don't pray. you know, and bring them out of hell. We just keep telling them they're going to go there. And see, but she knew. She said, you little heathen from hell, you are going to be saved. You are going to serve God. And he's a wonderful pastor, preacher, right? And he said he's funny because he said he has the joy of the Lord down inside of him. And he said nobody can take that joy out of him. He said he wasn't funny before he got saved. He really was not funny at all. But he's funny now because he knows who he serves. That's why people don't have joy. You've left your first love. You need to go back to your first love and get re-dipped all over again. I don't care if you're doing your bathtub. You know, and just get the joy of the Lord back down inside of you. So that then you can really minister to people with true joy. And whenever you say anything to them, they'll really know that God is real. Because they see him real in you. All right. Then God goes on to say, man has not seen nor heard of all the wonderful things I have in store for my family of believers at this given time and season. For you are truly entering into a brand new season of instructions from your Father. And he's been telling us that. And you must be forever mindful of the times and the temperature of the hour. For the fire will be turned up and great and powerful things will come forth from this fire. I am calling you forth tonight as fire carriers of my word. He's called us to do that, right? And I'm calling you forth to go forth with great expectation of what the new year holds for you. Now they're saying, they said 2018 was going to be a wonderful year. Now they're saying 2019 is going to be a wonderful year. And that kind of stuff bothers me. Because and I take that to God. I said, God, they say 2018 is going to be great. 2019 is going to be great. I said, somewhere along the line, somebody's missing the boat. Amen. You know, you need to just tell us, you know, and he does, what's going to happen in 2018. And then we go into 2019, you know, it's just an extension of 2018, right? And we just keep walking in his blessings. Right? You know, when Elaine was standing up here and she says, I know Jesus. She said, I'm saved. And she looked at Nancy and said, you need Jesus. And she looked so, didn't she look convincing? I thought, I was waiting to hear the prophetic word she was going to give her. You was too? That's how convincing she was that she needed Jesus. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what has Nancy done? Right? But see, the Spirit of God, well, maybe you do. Because the Spirit of God moved on her and she pointed right at her. And wasn't she convincing? Yeah. I'm chiding her. Be quiet. You better go to your bedroom tonight and pray. see that there's a joy of the Lord. See, we can laugh at things like this instead of getting all disgruntled. How come she pointed at me and said I needed Jesus? I'm saved. Right? If you'd have pointed to some other people in here, they would have done that. Wow, I'm saved, sanctified. I lost my place. I has not seen nor ear heard of all the wonderful things my true soldiers will accomplish in a short time frame. Another verification. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God's been telling us that over and over again. Will you please get that down in your spirit? But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Don't settle for second best. God has told you what he wants to do through you. Now, walk with that. That is what he's going to do through you. I say to you once again, forget the former things and enter into the new that I'm going to accomplish through my true and faithful ones. And Isaiah 42:9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass and new things I declare. You see, the past is a past. We've entered into new things. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Take back all your sorrows and throw them at my feet. He told us to do that. The enemy has held them captive long enough. Do you not understand that he holds all darkness in his hands and he constantly tries to destroy my chosen generation? I am the true light and all darkness is dispelled when the true light comes upon the scene. 1 John 2:8, again a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And what's he been telling us? That our light will be so bright that everywhere we go, we're going to dispel the darkness. I dwell richly inside of all the righteous ones. See that? I dwell richly inside all the righteous ones. And it is as you allow me to use your vessel as light that the darkness will be dispelled when you walk into a room, when you walk in a grocery store, when you walk into a business environment. Your light will destroy all darkness. So what are you going to do when you walk into a grocery store and all of a sudden this demon screaming, running at you? What are you going to do? Turn around and run out the door. In the name of Jesus, stop. Right now. Amen. All right, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's been telling us he wants us to do that for quite a while now. And we still haven't gotten the concept of that. My children, I say unto you, look up continually and follow my voice and do not lend your ears for one moment to the evil dark side. I am coming with my great army and I will slay the giants in the land. And I tell you a truth, you will ride with me and you shall be dressed in white and you shall know of my true power and you shall also slay the giants of the land and you shall know sorrow, but you shall also know a deep abiding joy that will bring a wellspring of living water to the surface. And all those around about you shall prosper because of your obedience to my voice. What does it say? All those around about you shall prosper because you obeyed his voice. You obeyed his voice. Therefore, those around about you are blessed. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He who believes in me, do you really believe in God? Do you really believe what he's telling you? Is that why you don't have rivers of living water flowing out of you? Think about this. Do you really believe? You're going to have to believe to receive. Remember always that my sheep know my voice and no other voice will they follow. In John 10:3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Therefore, when you hear a voice, if you're really in Christ, you'll know it's his voice, and you will follow his voice. I've gone through this. I know what I'm talking about. But because I remember the scripture, and I say, no, devil, that's not my God. And if you listen to the devil's voice, there's always something, maybe one word, that he says is wrong, that you'll know that was not God. There's always something in what he's saying that will just all of a sudden make a bell go off and say, nope, that's not God, because God wouldn't say that. You know, that one word. So you have to understand that you are his sheep, you do hear his voice, you do know his voice, and you're not going to follow the devil. Where else can you find so great a joy but beside your loving Father? This is God speaking. Oh, I surely did make you a wonder to the world. I surely did make you as a mighty tower that others can run into. Excuse me. This is your time frame to accomplish a mighty works for a living Father. Isn't that what he's been telling us? Isn't that what he's been saying? Oh, I surely did make you a wonder to the world. I surely did make you as a mighty tower that others can run into. This is your time frame to accomplish a mighty works for a living Father. Go forth this new year with great confidence that I am with you, and I will always be with you, just as my word proclaims. We just have not believed what God has been telling us. Now, this is the word for 2015, New Year's Eve. We'll get a new one. I'm quite sure God will speak for us in this new year. But when he told me to teach this or to go over this, I couldn't believe the similarity of from 2015 and then in this year too, saying the very same thing. Always remember David. Is that what I meant? Always remember David. He knew me personally. Uh-huh. And he knew of my wondrous ways, and he sang of this great wonder, and he went forth as a young youth, and he slew the giants in the land with perfect confidence, that his father was with him, and his father would never leave him to the enemy. This is where we fail. We do not have that perfect confidence that our Father is always with us and that He will not leave us to the enemy. He won't. He just won't. I'm so glad that I had those encounters with the devil, you know, in personal, real life, standing up, looking at him square in the eyes. And this is what's seen me through all the years of all this junk I've had to go through because of other people, because what the devil told me he was going to destroy me, but God said, no, he can't. No, he can't. He can't kill you. He can do a lot of things to you. And I've always told him, devil, you can't kill me. You can do anything you want to me because God's given you permission, but you cannot kill me. And so I know that because he cannot kill me, I can make it through anything. Life isn't easy. It never was easy, was it? It just isn't easy. And it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So you're going to have to understand that God is with you. He has not forsaken you, and he will not leave you in the hands of the enemy. He just won't. Remember all the great patriarchs of old, and remember how by faith they went forth, and by faith they accomplished great feats for me, and by faith they withstood the course of suffering, and by faith they brought many to the footstool of the Lord. But this is all by faith. Remember, remember, remember all my promises to you, for they are surely yes and amen. I will not falter, and I will not fall, for I am the Lord God Almighty, and I lie not. Happy New Year and happy adventures to all those who follow after righteousness and all those who believe in their Father of all lights and who will not back down but will just march forward as did the patriarchs of old. Hebrews 10:1-13 talks. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The problem with the body of Christ is we do not walk by faith. We walk by sight. We walk by our emotions. We walk by whatever somebody else says to us. We walk by what our eyes look at. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him, for before he was taken he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You know, I really get upset with these masks. Come up here to the altar and just repeat after me. But it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I remember when a big church opened up in Newark, every time I went up there, they were given this big massive altar call, and they'd pull you into another room, and they would say, well, you're saved and going to heaven, and here's a book, goodbye. You know, and I know people that went in there, because I took people up there, they weren't no more saved than the door was that they walked through. But, you know, that and they just dismissed them, and they didn't follow up with them. So then they brag, well, we had 500 souls saved last night. No, you didn't. And see, this is what's the matter, problem in the body of Christ. Those souls were not saved. And I'm not saying don't do that, and I'm not saying this wrong, but, you know, people just are not being saved right now. They're just being led to a delusion. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. People mocked that poor man terrible, didn't they? And by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now when God said go, they'll say, where? Are you going to make a way? I want to check in my hand right now to pay my way. You know? By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited in the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't even see the promises come to pass yet. They just kept believing by faith that it was going to happen. You know, God brought to my remembrance today that some things that I really believe I have to share them, because you people have to know that when you walk close to God, these are the things that are going to happen. You know, one time my daughter, she's a construction worker, threw herself off of a building. She was up in Bethesda. By throwing herself off, I mean, she was thrown on those pallets and they had the straps on it. And when she threw it, the strap caught her on the neck and took her down that building. And it was in the winter, and she landed between the sidewalk and the dumpster. And she took out a couple windows as she went, and it hit her head and this, that, and the other. And I got a telephone call at work saying, you need to come now because she's dying. We'll try to keep her alive till you get here. So I had to go from here to Bethesda. And when I got there, they wouldn't let us go up to the room. They said, you just can't see her right now. We're trying to keep her alive. And so I went in the telephone booth room there, and I just kept praying and praying and trusting and believing God. Then they come. They said, come quickly. We got her to where you can talk to her right now. And we went up there, and I walked around the back, and I laid my hands on her head, and I said, honey, you should live and not die. The doctor come and yanked us away from there, said, come on, she's, you know, all her vital signs came to normal, and they said, we want to do surgery right now. And when she was in the operating room, she said, Mom, you stood right there beside me, hold my hand, tell me everything they were doing. She explained everything they did to her. And I said, honey, I wasn't in the operating room. I was down in the telephone room praying. And she said, no, you're right there in that operating room. And you know what it was an angel, looked like me. But she said, I felt such peace and such comfort. I wasn't afraid of anything because you were standing there holding my hand. And see, she knows I love the Lord. And so she just said, faith, knowing that was me standing there, and it wasn't. And then my one daughter, the other daughter, she had a husband who worked. They were building the Bay Bridge up there. Remember, they were reconstructing the Bay Bridge, and he was down. They went down under the water and put those pillars in, and he was down there on one of those boats, whatever you call those things, tugs. And he said he heard my voice call his name, and my face came in front of his, and I said, look up. And when he looked up, one of those big bullies cut loose, and it was falling down, and he jumped sideways because I told him, look up, and the other guy didn't know it, and it hit him and crushed him. But see, that wasn't me. That was an angel. It looked like me. He said, Mom, I saw your face just as I'm clearly seeing your face today. And you know, if you really follow God with all your heart, God will do the very same thing with you. Because, you have to be his in order for him to do that. If you're not his and you're just out there puttering around just pretending you're saved, God can't use your face to do stuff like that. Other things he's done, so supernatural. All because, I gave my heart totally and completely to God and followed him with all my heart, and I didn't compromise my walk. I still don't compromise my walk. And by not compromising, sometimes you're very lonely, very lonely. But, if you're going to compromise, then you might as well just sit down. Don't you believe that Jesus was lonely at times? Even though he had all of his 12 disciples, don't you think he was lonely at times? And your friends aren't always going to be there believing you. Your friends aren't always going to be there patting you on the back saying, come on, you can make it. And you're just going to have to know that that God has called you. And you just have to march forward. And these two words, I didn't know they were even there anymore. But God told me to go back there to my old sermons, and then he told me exactly what to pull out of there. And I was totally amazed at how that's what's going on today. And so what God is doing is he's telling you guys, come on. Come on, all the things I've spoken over your life, I want it to come to pass. I want to bring you, I'm hearing him say fresh new revelation even. I want to take you up into the heights of glory, and I want you to sit down at my feet, and I want to teach you things that others do not know of. I want to use you to do great and mighty works and deeds for me on this earth. And the only way you can do it is if you come higher with me. The only way you can do it is if you just take my hand and just move with me and don't stop. Just don't stop. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. Just don't stop. Just keep moving on. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, sons and daughters. It doesn't matter. Today is a new day. It's a new dawning. And just move on from today and just do my bidding. Do what I'm asking you to do. Quit fumbling around in the dark and just commit totally and completely into the light. And let me lead God and direct you in the path that I would have your feet to follow. There's so much confusion in the world, and I don't want my body walking in this confusion. I want my body to be walking into truth, into the supernatural. I want my body to stand by me and knowing that I'm standing by them and that we can do great and mighty works together. Not separately, but together. And he's saying, first of all, you have to have prosperity of your soul, and then I will give you prosperity of your natural life. You know, the Word of God, now I'm saying this, the Word of God says your soul will prosper as your soul prospers, right? And this is what God just said, your soul has to prosper first. And I'm hearing God say, will you get on the bandwagon with me? Will you just come along for the ride and just... we'll just toot our horns together and we'll accomplish all the great and mighty feats that needs to be accomplished at this given time. He said, I'm giving you an invitation to get on the bandwagon tonight. And this time we'll go all the way to glory. This time the bandwagon won't stop. We'll go all the way to glory. And you and I together, we're going to accomplish great and mighty feats. Come on. I'm hearing God say it's restoration time. It's time for him to restore you back into your rightful place in his kingdom. It's time for him to restore back to you everything that the palmer and the cankerworm has stolen. And he's stolen much from each and every one of you. I've had to stand by and watch the things he did you only because you wouldn't believe totally and completely. You have hardly believed what I said. But you still held on to your own thoughts and your own ideas. And you wouldn't let go totally and completely and just receive my thoughts and my ideas. I'm standing here richly tonight before you, my children, and I am saying, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest and I will give you peace. I will give you the tools you need to go out there and do the mighty works I'm calling you forth to do. Hold nothing back from me. Hold absolutely nothing back from me. Walk with me each and every day. Each and every morning when you rise out of your bed, commune with me. Even if it's just to say, hello, God, how are you? That is a delight to my ears. At least I know that you recognize that I'm there. Do something each and every day to let me know that you think about me as I think about you. You are constantly on my mind. You're never off of my mind. You're always there. And I want you to do the same with me, really. I want me to be constantly on your mind. I don't want you to think about your wife, your husband, your neighbors, your friends. I want you to think about me and what you and I are going to accomplish together. I want you to constantly get direction and instruction on how you're going to accomplish what I've called you forth to do. Because you can't do this thing I've called you to do on your own. You cannot separate yourself from me and do the thing I've called you to do. You will fall flat on your face. I need you constantly connected to the vine. Father, I thank you tonight for what you just did. I thank you for your word of encouragement and words of knowledge. I thank you, Father God, that you are... I hear you say that your ears are always in tune for our voices. And God is saying, my children, tonight at the altar, I want to touch your ears so that you will constantly hear my voice, constantly, because I speak constantly. You need to hear my voice each and every second of each and every day. If you will come and let me touch your ears, I, the Lord thy God, I promise you that your ears will be open and you will hear my voice and my voice only. And it's only my voice that you will follow from this night forward. And you will do great and mighty exploits for the great God that you serve. I'm waiting. It's up to you whether you want me to touch your ears or not, but the altar is open.